I know I need to establish credibility in the market. I know that I want to be top of mind. I know that when someone wants to go search, I want a lot of content there. But I didn't want meaningless content. Like, I wanted authentic, true, engaging content. And a podcast is a great way to be able to do that.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
What's up, podcaster? It's your host, Adam A. Adams. And today I am joined on the show with a guest, Liam Leonard from Lions Cove. You know, the Lions Cove should have had a double L also. Liam Leonard from Lions, I can't think of it, but it's good to have you on the podcast. As we record this, you've published nearly 100 episodes, which is pretty remarkable. So where I want to start out is what you wanted the podcast to do for you, and if it's done that yet through almost 100 episodes.
Yeah, that has definitely changed over time as we've gone through our process with the podcast. But appreciate you having me on the show, Adam. I wish I had more, you know, double and triple L to be up to par with the triple A. Not quite there, but we can aspire to be like you.
You are a triple L. Liam Leonard Lions.
There you go.
Co. All right. Well, yeah. So what did you think that the podcast would do for you, and has it done it?
Yeah. So originally when I started the podcast, the premise was that it was going to be all about customer acquisition. For us, we work with high net worth individuals. And the idea is that we would talk to people who had a sphere of influence within high net worth individuals. They would hear the show, they'd be interested, and they would essentially come to us as the business. Great in theory, made sense. We came up with a topic that was in the financial space that we obviously offer our services in, but didn't have any clients that ever came from the podcast in the first, you know, 30, 60, 90, 180 days. And so eventually there was a decision point that came that said, hey, do you continue the podcast because it's not meeting your initial objective, or do you pivot? Do you think about it differently? So what I did is I started to think about the podcast instead of as a customer acquisition and as a business tool, more as a building my network and exploring my natural inquisition into learning more about what people are doing in their space and what they're great at and how it ties into the financial space. And so it became much more a personal objective for me, where it was, how do I meet really awesome people? How do I approach it, be present, and try to learn as much as possible from these people who have been very successful, like yourself? We recorded a show together for our show, right? And so those are the elements that we've transitioned to. As time has gone on, we're in a phase now where we're looking to potentially reposition it again to bring, essentially tie it into the business sense. In order to do that, there's a lot of work that I needed to do personally to figure out, okay, what's my, I articulated as zone of genius, right? Where's that area that I can add value to others? Because when I started the podcast, I wasn't thinking about that, right? It was all about selling my own product or services. It wasn't about adding value to people. And I think when you start with adding value to people, that customer journey that you can put together is a lot more organic, is a lot more meaningful to the listenership, to the guests, to everyone. And so we're in the process of doing that now.
That is, we could be done with the whole interview today. That was like, drop your mic, start with adding value. So you're probably going through your second change into the third formation of what you want the podcast to be all about. In the very beginning, it was, I want to interview people so I can get some customers. So you wanted to interview the right people that either could be your customers, or more likely, they know a lot of your perfect customer. And after, you know, 60, 90, 180 days later, you kind of decided, hey, let's pivot this and enjoy it. Let's just be there, have these good conversations, learn from it, have good connections, networking, and meeting with people. And right now you're saying, you know what? Let's figure out how to add value. And you said something, and it was awesome. If you start with that adding value, if you go there first, everything else happens. And I always think of what's that guy's name? It's funny. I forget his name every time. I'm going to put a sticky note on my computer. Zig Ziglar, I think, said, if you'll have everything in this life that you want, if you help enough other people get what they want. And this is you rethinking and saying, how can I just be of service? How can I just serve the other people in this world that need me, that need my message? Give and give and give. And you understand that it'll come back to you as well. And I think that's awesome. That's what I try to do on my show. That's what the listener should do on their show. So that was really, really big. In your 100-ish episodes that you have published as we record this, what have you learned about interviewing, finding guests, asking the right questions? What have you learned? And maybe share a story about a mistake that you made along the lines of finding guests or interviewing guests.
Yeah. So at the beginning, I was very scripted in terms of my approach and how I went about things, right? Because there was a clear outcome that I was trying to drive, and I was trying to force everyone into this box, right? Of here's you, but I want you to talk about A, B, C, D, and then E is, you know, the plus up or the sale into my ecosystem. And it felt forced, right? It didn't feel organic. It didn't feel like we were getting the true insights. I didn't feel like I was learning. And so the approach was all wrong. In that, after we've reiterated it, and now it's all focused on giving back, right? Trying to enrich people's lives, currently enriching my own life in terms of learning, the question set becomes much more natural and inquisitive. There's a rough structure and some rough guardrails of what we want to stay in. And we have that conversation with our guest ahead of time. So it's, you know, hey, we want to live in this area. However, it's always geared towards, what's your area of expertise? What are you most passionate about? What are you interested in for the guest? And when you dive into that and you're really hitting on those things that are passionate about them, that they want to share, the energy, the excitement, all of that become so much more organic and translates very well to the audience who appreciates that. And so I think the question set becomes more these open-ended questions that get at what that core expertise is, right? What are the most exciting things that you're working on today, right? May not have any correlation directly back, but if you set it up properly and you do your research with the guest to know what their area of expertise is, you can create those ties within the rough guardrails, right, that still resonate with the listener, but allow your guests to be able to express themselves fully, right? And I think getting them comfortable and allowing them to express themselves fully through, you know, those questions that are open-ended and really laying into their passion speaks volumes.
So I'm getting two big things that maybe a new podcaster would learn from. One of them is, when Liam started his show, he was scripted. The second one is that he was utilizing a funnel and it felt forced. So he wants to avoid the F word, the forced word, the funnel word. And instead of going A, B, C, D, we're just going to be there adding value. So your major changes are moving away from scripted to moving toward organic conversations where you talk about their passions, their strengths, their experiences, and approaching the audience a little bit different as well, where it doesn't have to go A, B, C, D. I'm not 100% sure if I agree with that wholeheartedly about not having a funnel for a podcast that should make money, but because I'm trying to think of my own experience with this podcast. Obviously, the podcast on podcasting is the top of the funnel for Grow Your Show. At the top of the funnel is the awareness part. It's where people need to see who you are. And I guess I don't really think about it so much as a funnel when I'm recording. I just want to add value. But at the same time, I make sure that there's a call to action, maybe a lead magnet, maybe something that I was showing you today about microphones on our growyourshow.com/PDF to get a PDF of all of the equipment that we recommend. Because we would get a phone, like you can easily go to that website and just scroll down and not give us your email. Or if you want us to email the PDF, then we will have your email address. So it's not a very strong funnel, but it does open it up to be able to have people's email addresses. So I want to understand, to the extent of not being a ABCD forced funnel, that you're planning on doing now that you're about 800 episodes under your belt. Like, what would you say to the listener about this topic, about how we should use a funnel or not use a funnel, the best practices or worst practices, or just how you're going to do it, just to understand your suggestions there?
Yeah. So to create a structure, right, I think there are three phases that our business has with the podcast, right? The first is, you articulated, very scripted, trying to drive sales, didn't function, right? It was too forced. The second is, we're all in this give back phase. There's no expectation or anticipation of any sales. It's not tied to the business whatsoever. It's purely driving my inquisitive nature and trying to enrich the lives of the audience through stories. That being said, there's the third phase, which we're starting to create the strategic framework today, is, what's the middle ground between those two effectively? We know it can't be scripted. We know it can't be a forced funnel, so to speak, of, you have to go get this thing, right? We know it can't be as open-ended as it is today. And so what does that look like, right? And so we are redesigning, starting with, what's the value that we want to bring, right? And so starting with, where can we share that value? And where is my zone of expertise, my zone of genius, where I can fulfill lives, right? Where I can enrich lives, where I can give back. And starting there, and thinking through, okay, who's the target audience going to be? Then I can create those pieces of content, to your point, right? For you, it's, here's the equipment recommendation list, right? For me, it might be, here's a target allocation list of how you would invest. It might be, here are the first three things you need to do, you know, once you reach profitability as an entrepreneur. Right. Our audience tends to be entrepreneurs who are reaching that point of, you know, $1 million in profitability, et cetera. Hey, here are 20 cash flow ideas, and here are people that you can go to that we recommend, right? We'd obviously fill one of those slots, and you'd have others that are there in terms of affiliate relationships that we would set up, right? And so there's value that will get added along the way. And those essentially become the plugins or the funnels that start to create the relationship, right? At the end of the day, what we're trying to drive is relationship with people, people that fit our niche that we can add value to. And so it's customizing and thinking through deliberately what the show is, what the content is, right? Who the guests are, and then giving enough parameter, right? To have a conversation that is unique and different. So you don't have 100 of the same episode, but still gets to a point where, you know, that guest audience, when they go listen to the show, can come and get value from us. And we know it fits them because we've thought through that value chain of where we can offer and who we're targeting.
Amazing. This is some really good stuff that you poured into us right now. You basically have like three steps of like your journey. Step one was articulated, fancy, scripted, perfect, well thought out. And there was this thing where it was like, sometimes we can be, maybe I'm not talking about you specifically, Liam, but you might resonate with this. So perhaps might the listener. I'm not the most eloquent person ever, but I do love my listener. I do care about my listener. In the beginning, I wanted it to be perfect. Not on this podcast, but the podcast that I sold, that my first one. I wanted it to be perfect. And so I didn't speak naturally. I spoke in a forced way. I spoke in a, how eloquent can I sound, even though I'm not actually that eloquent, way. And I think that the takeaway from this articulated, scripted, perfected thing is, it's either going to be fake or it's going to be authentic. And if that's your authentic way, is if you are articulate and you are scripted, you'll attract a few people that know you. But if that's not naturally you, and that's you trying to be a little bit better than you normally are for your episode, it's going to come across as fake. So your step two was, let's just do stories. Let's just utilize people's stories, my stories, stories of clients, stories of guests that come on, and we'll teach our listener through stories. We will teach through analogies. We will teach through examples. And that worked, and it made you feel much more comfortable. And you're going to go to the Goldilocks, the hybrid way, where it's like a little bit of scripted, articulate in a way, but in an authentic way, and utilizing the stories. And here's the big takeaways that I heard you say. Step three for you is going into the hybrid Goldilocks. A is you're going to have in mind thinking who's that target audience. B, at the end of the day, you care about the relationships. And then I want to say, it sounds like these lead magnets that we've been talking about, you even said this, Liam, and I just loved it. You said, I want to have, quote, resources for my perfect target audience. It's a resource. I think of it as a resource. And here I am telling my listener that it's a lead magnet. I'm telling my listener, this is your lead magnet. This is how you grow your business. And Liam comes in and he's saying, I want to provide great resource for my right person. And that resource can act as a lead magnet. But I love the thought of between a resource and a lead magnet. So a lot of good stuff. How about, go ahead, please jump in.
In my mind, the resource has to come before the lead magnet, right? When I started thinking through, okay, I need a lead magnet. What does that look like? It was like, okay, I'm going to go write a book or I'm going to go develop this, but it didn't tie, right? It didn't tie to where the value is. It didn't tie to the audience. It didn't tie to the resource that they wanted. And so that really has to be the starting point for this to be authentic, for it to be powerful for you and work in the way that you're looking for it to.
Yeah. How about editing? Who does your editing? Is it you or do you hire somebody?
Yeah, so we hire a firm similar to what Adam does here and what he offers is
obviously not as good. I'm just kidding.
I had to get a full lesson on the right equipment to use because using the right ones.
Oh boy.
But Adam's an expert there and using a firm that does very similarly, right? So for me, my time is my most valuable asset, right? And this is something that I enjoy doing. I enjoy the relationships, right? I enjoy making these connections with the guests who are on the show, but it's not a great use of my time to do the booking, the editing and all of that. And I don't have an expertise or a knowledge to know what that looks like or who to bring in. It doesn't make sense to have a full-time person for the amount of volume that we're doing. And so for us, it makes sense to go to an expert like Adam to help us with that.
I didn't mean to do that. You're being so kind. Your team might be even better. So that's all good. But I like this quote. We use a firm. My time is my most valuable asset. How does the listener know, in your opinion, Liam, if they should edit their own podcast or hire it off to somebody else? Like, what is that determination? Is it how much money they have? Is it how much time they have? Is it their goals? Is it their hobbies? What do you think are the big things that they ought to be thinking of? And can you blanketly state that everybody should always hire a firm, or is it up in the air?
Yeah, I think it's definitely more in it depends answer, right? If someone has a passion and they've gone to school for creative design, they like the programs, they like the editing, you should absolutely do the editing, right? That's where your zone of genius, your expertise, your passion is going to come into it. And it will show, right? Because you will know as you're going through the interview how you want to customize it and show that for the audience, right? And so those types of people absolutely should. That would be a blanket statement, right? If you love it and it's a passion, yes, absolutely do it. For the others, it becomes a strategic decision, right? Based on time and based on money. Hiring a firm is not always cheap, right? And depending on the amount of episodes that you're doing and to get the quality that we're discussing, right, is not easy. And so it's a matter of, you know, can you make more money elsewhere, right? Or does it make more sense for you to figure it out and kind of learn and do it on your own?
Yeah,
I would imagine.
Quick interruption. Have you ever edited your own?
No.
You never have. So I wouldn't be able to ask you how long it takes you.
No.
Okay. That's pretty cool. I totally cut you off. So keep going.
I went into this fully aware that this was not an expertise of mine. I had no idea what the tools were. I knew it was a growing medium. I knew that for me, it's a credibility play, right? I'm leading an organization that's based on relationships. Most of our business comes from word of mouth, comes from referrals. And I know I need to establish credibility in the market. I know that I want to be top of mind. I know that when someone wants to go search, right, want a lot of content there, but I didn't want meaningless content, right? Like I wanted authentic, true, engaging content, and a podcast is a great way to be able to do that, right? Great medium in today's space to be able to relate to people, right? It's obviously trending, right? As people move away from cutting the cord on cable. And I don't think there's, you know, the millennial generation and younger, I don't think listens to a car radio, right? It all goes through other channels. And so I think it becomes very prevalent and popular for them. So I think that's huge. Going back to the core question of, okay, what did time, money, how do you make that decision of whether you do it yourself or not? So for me, I knew I didn't have the expertise. I knew I had cash flow. I knew I wanted to build credibility. So for me, it was, this is going to be a business expense that we're going to take. Ideally, we get it to a place where it can pay for itself, right? And whether we've got ads that are coming in or other elements to help monetize the content and the following, but that's secondary, right? For me at the beginning, it was all about, hey, this is a marketing expense that we're investing in, build relationship, build the network, build the content, and the rest will come.
Dang, bro, you could drop the mic again. And the rest will come. This is a marketing expense that we are investing in. It's a business expense meant to pay for itself. It's a growing medium to be top of mind and to gain that searchability. Good stuff. So I guess it just depends on if the person has more time, more money, if they want to wear all the hats, or if they want to stay in their genius zone, and that'll help them to be able to figure it out. Out of curiosity, for you and your business, like when you had business partners, and maybe you have partners today also, but when you had business partners, the big question is, how did you guys determine who was going to be the voice on the podcast back then? Or were you both on the podcast when you had a business with business partners and the intention was to grow the company through a podcast? Did you both become hosts of the show, or did one of you say, I'll take the reins, or the other one said, you do it? I couldn't do that. How'd that go for you?
For us, it was an easy decision, right? The partners that I had at the time, one was back office, wanted nothing to do with being anywhere on anything, didn't like being present at all, right? So it wasn't going to be them. And then the other one is more the strategic, analytical, back of house, right? Executional. And so it wasn't going to be them either, right? And so for us, the decision had to be, who do we need to build the credibility for, right? So an important distinction here, our podcast is not our business, right? Our podcast is a support marketing component, right? That helps drive our business elsewhere. There are lots of people where the podcast is the main business and they're selling coaching services or other things where that engagement is their primary outlet, right? So important to distinguish, not us. When we get back to, you know, who is the voice and who is the one doing the podcast, and for us, it had to be, who do we need to build credibility for, right? And if I was going to be the one that was going to be out front and center, talking with the institutional capital guys, talking with the, you know, high net worth investors, and I was the one that was going to be leading the company, and on paper, that's who's leading the company, then I needed to be the one that we were establishing the content and the credibility for. And I needed to be the one that would be able to step in and do the podcast.
So to be clear, because I think this could have been taken two ways. When you said, who's going to be the voice of the podcast, you reverse engineered it and said, well, who do we need to build that credibility for? And when you say that, does that mean that your team decided that they needed Liam to have more credibility, or did that mean that they needed a certain avatar to see credibility for the company? Just so I understand.
Yeah. So the first part is spot on, right? We reverse engineered to figure out who would be the one that was on the show. The second part, I think, is twofold, as you articulated. One is, if we want to continue to build credibility in a very crowded space where someone goes and types into Google Liam Leonard or Lions Cove or, you know, whatever that is, that we're popping up and we dominate that first page through organic search, right? And so in order to do that, you need the content that supports it. And so we needed to build credibility for me, right? The other side of it is thinking through, and this was more general. It wasn't probably for a specific avatar, but knowing that certain groups are going to go and do research on you before investing. They want to know who you stand for. They want to know, you know, are you an expert in the space, right? And quite frankly, when someone goes and Googles the name and all of these things pop up that say, I'm talking to all of these people who also have credibility and authenticity that are associated with them, I get to lend off of that from them, right? And as a result, it further substantiates, you know, who we are and what we do, and that we are who we are, or we're executing how we believe, and you know, we've got the credibility and clout in the market.
Yeah, this is really, really good stuff that you are going to be building all that credibility, the clout in your market space through making that voice, finding that voice. And I love how you said it earlier, like really understanding the avatar, really understanding who they are, what they're looking for. So I don't think I mentioned this earlier, but the podcast name, which is already in the show notes, if you've been listening for a while, you know Liam's bio is in the show notes, because I'm not going to read a bio to you. You can read it yourself. And also his website is in the show notes, and the podcast itself is down there as well. So you can just scroll down and grab that, but it's called The Prosperity Perspective. And Liam, I'm just curious, we don't talk about this with very many guests at all, and I feel like that might be a disservice. Because what is that? What's in a name? Shakespeare? What's in a name? Does that come from Romeo and Juliet?
Or something like that? I don't know, but
okay. Well, let's just pretend that Shakespeare wrote Romeo and Juliet, and in Romeo and Juliet, they had two different last names, and one of them said to the other, "What's in a name? It's just a name. It's just a last name. Who cares?" Well, anyway. Let's just pretend that that's all true for a second.
You are correct.
Oh, it is, right? Okay, cool. It is. I was probably in second grade last time I thought about that. But I want to talk about What's in a Name and your podcast name. How did you name yourself? Why did you name yourself this? What's going on with the artwork? Why is it important to your perfect avatar? Do you mind going through that, the branding of your show, for a little bit?
Yeah. So a couple different components as it relates to the artwork and the name. The name came from at a time when I was trying to figure out purpose and fulfillment and vision, both for the company as well as for myself and my personal life. And I knew that business was very successful, right? And so monetarily, that wasn't something I had to worry about. But I started thinking of the bigger questions, right? Like, what impact am I going to have? Why am I here? I have young kids, right? They're 2.5 and 3.5. So, you know, at the time they were even younger, infant, newborn, right? And those pieces started to get me thinking of like, what am I living for, right? And a component of that was, I want my kids to be in a better world when I leave than when I came into it. I want them to be set up for success. I want to have a positive impact in the community that I serve and the world that I'm living in, right? That I have the opportunity to be a part of. And for me, that was all about thinking through, you know, what does prosperity mean? And how do we provide perspective back to the younger generations or people who are going through similar things to be able to enrich their lives, right? So our mission at our company at Lions Cove is enriching lives. And so it's a combination of this enriching lives and finding this greater fulfillment or passion to give prosperity to others. We're also in the financial space, right? We're creating security of wealth for people. And, you know, that idea of creating prosperity that's there for the longevity and having others provide their perspective on how they got there felt really, really good and hit at the core, right? So the name we felt really good about. The artwork perspective, we worked with a designer to kind of come up with some ideas. Bluntly, the ideas were okay. And we landed on something that was average. One of our core values at the company is progress over perfection. So the name we felt really good about was really close to what we wanted, right? Maybe not perfect, but you know, we'll call it 90% of the way there. The artwork, probably 50% of the way there, and will likely be changing in the future. However, valued essentially getting started, creating content, building those relationships more so than the cover art for the podcast. And so that was one that we said, hey, it's good. Let's not sink our time or effort into this currently, and let's move forward.
Really, really good stuff. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break just for our one commercial, and then we're going to come back in and talk about Liam's best advice for a brand new podcaster. So whatever he thinks is the thing you need to know today, we'll be right back.
Hey, my friend, as you know, this episode is sponsored by my company, growyourshow.com. We want you to be able to have the best tools at your disposal without costing you a whole arm and a leg. So right now you can get a free list of vetted equipment that like mics, mixers, webcams, sound treatment, editing software, everything that you need. I created the whole PDF with direct purchase links just to save you time and money to help it be more convenient for you. So this free PDF will help you skip all the guesswork. If it's on there, it's vetted and approved by yours truly. And if it's not on there, it's probably not worth the money. So go ahead and get yours at growyourshow.com/PDF. Let's get back into the show.
We're back with Liam Leonard from Lions Cove and the Prosperity Perspective podcast. And we've had a really good time already talking a little bit about how he started his podcast to interview other people, to get customer acquisitions, how he's more moving into adding value, you know, that 1, 2, 3, the articulated and scripted, to the just the stories, to now the hybrid Goldilocks. Let's do both. Let's figure out how to do both. We talked about resources versus lead magnets. We talked about his time being really valuable and him hiring somebody else to do all the stuff immediately before he did anything else. We talked about that being a business expense or a marketing expense for the company that the company was investing in. And figuring out that voice, if you have partners, who's the right voice? Reverse engineer what you're looking for, then put that one person or those two people as co-host, and then, you know, just building the credibility, the clout. And then finally, we ended right before the break with the branding thoughts that he has about the art, the name, and the artwork might be 50% to where he wanted it, but it's progress over perfection. Now we get to jump into Liam's absolute best advice for a new podcaster today. Let's hear it.
For me, it starts with the purpose, right? And have clarity on the vision of what you're trying to accomplish and why. It's one that, you know, we've gone through 100 episodes before getting to that point. And if we had started from the beginning with more clarity, right, I think we would be in a much better space of thinking through strategically, what are we trying to accomplish? How are we going to do it? And how do we add value, right? If you are creating a show, right, is it for you or is it for the listener? There are people that I know that run their own podcast that it's for them. They create the podcast. It's for them to create a library for their children on business advice for the future. In that case, right, the listenership doesn't matter. It's all about that inquisitive nature. But if you're trying to build a business about it, right, it needs to be focused on who that listener is and what value you're trying to give to them, right? And being crystal clear on finding that niche. Find a niche. It is a very crowded world and a very crowded space in podcasting. There's more and more people that are coming on board. And so the best advice I can give for those who are looking to make a business or have it be poignant is find a niche that no one else is occupying and be ruthless about driving into just subject matter about said niche, right? Best office chairs for a conference room, right? What does that look like, right? And really go into that and make sure you're passionate about it.
So here's what I'm getting the most out of that. What's that other guy's name who said that other cool thing? Begin with the end in mind, from the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Stephen Covey, I think.
Correct.
And these are 7 habits of highly effective people. So less effective people don't do these things. So you basically are saying to our listener, as your best advice to a new podcaster, is to start with purpose and clarity of vision. And Liam said, if they had started their show, if he had started his show and had that purpose, that clarity, that vision from the beginning, then he would have been way better off. And then he said, find a niche. When you realize who you're helping and how you can help them, be okay, like office chairs, for example, be okay to just offer that one thing. You don't have to be a chair company that has sofas and armoires and Davenports and chairs and office chairs and all these other things, because you're the chair person. He's talking about actually finding a real niche within a niche. That's what I got from it. And I hope that you're thinking about this too. When you go and start your podcast, start with purpose and clarity of vision. Begin with the end in mind. If he had done it on his podcast, he would be way further ahead today if he did that 100 episodes ago. So go find your niche. And if you need any help with anything, reach out to Grow Your Show. We can have a free discovery call where we figure out how I can help you and how to make money through your podcast. I'll see you there. By the way, one way to ensure that you don't miss out on great content that we're producing on a regular basis is to make sure you're subscribed to the show. You need to be subscribed or following the Apple Podcast or wherever you listen to it in order not to miss all of that. And before I let you go, I need to mention, because a lot of people are asking, do you help? Can you help me with this? And the answer is yes. My company actually does it. It's called Grow Your Show. And you can find that at growyourshow.com. Our clients, they call us the easy button for podcaster because they simply have to record their episode. And they know that every single thing else is done for them. We sweat the hard stuff so you can be the star of your show. And if you would like help to make sure that we're editing and publishing and promoting and doing your social media, it's all in one place. And I think it's pretty affordable. You'll have to take a look for yourself. Just go to growyourshow.com and check us out. And by the way, I'll see you on the next episode.